Boy, it is great to see you today. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here at the Azalea City Church of Christ. If you're visiting with us, thank you for being a part of our services here today. You indeed are very special to us, and we hope that you will stick around and allow us the privilege of getting to know you just a little bit better. Also, I am always glad to come home. We had a great time together down in Orlando with our family. Appreciate those who preached, Justin, and taught classes throughout the week. But it's no place like home. I am so thankful to be here. Even today, just walking in, seeing certain vehicles in the parking lot brought smiles to my face as we were coming to Bible class. And then being able to just see your smiling faces and hear babies. And it's just such a blessing. And so I don't know how people are staying away, folks, because this place is special. I mean, it is so, so special. So if you are away and you're listening to this online, we need you back as soon as you can get back here. Church, I love you. I appreciate you. I do want to go. I know there's been a lot of prayers, but I just want to go to our Father on behalf of the situation in Ukraine and just about our time together right now. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us and giving us your Son. Father, our hearts are concerned for the church in the land of Ukraine. Father, we know that there's been persecutions in the church over the years, and we can read about them in your holy word. But Father, as this church is being scattered throughout the region and even into other countries, Father, I pray that their faith will continue to be a light to so many. Father, I'm so amazed with our brothers and sisters who I've read about and seen through our social media with their faith that they have right now. I pray that that faith stays strong. Father, we know that their homes literally are being bombed. And Father, we all have concern for it. Thank you for the generous hearts that have given of their money to this, that have given their prayer time to this. And Father, those who are giving words of encouragement to our brothers and sisters throughout the world. Father, we pray for this war to end. We pray that their lives can be built back, that they'll be able to go back home. But Father, no matter what, we pray that the church, your name, your Son's name, your Spirit's name, will all be glorified. Father, we ask a special blessing on our lesson time today. Father, help us to be reminded that you indeed are willing to fight for us. And Father, help us to join in that fight against Satan and his army and join arm in arm, be able to strengthen our faith, to be able to strengthen our walk with you today, challenge ourselves. And if there be those today who aren't part of this fight yet, they're not part of the greatest family in existence, that they will make the decision to be baptized into Christ before they leave this building today. Father, if there be those today that have been fighting, took some time off, and now are willing to get back in the fight, I pray that they'll make that decision to come home today. We love you, Father. I love this place. Thank you for letting me be a part of the Azalea City Church of Christ. It's our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You know, sometimes in life, we feel like we can't get ahead. Maybe we feel like we take two steps forward and five steps back. I believe that's just Satan's tool, don't you? I believe if we're honest with ourselves, Satan really wants us to be discouraged today. And folks, there's a lot we could be discouraged about. We can turn on and see what's happening, and really we don't have to turn on a TV. Those of us who have social media, we're seeing it happen with people that we know and love and have broken bread together with. And maybe even, I don't know, been to camp with, and so many other things. That can be very discouraging. You can go get gas this afternoon. Be very discouraged. We can look at inflation. Be very discouraged. There's a lot in life that could keep us discouraged. But one place that you should never be discouraged is right here. Now let me tell you, I'm a human. Our elders are human. Other people in these pews right here, we're all sinners. We're all people that will fail you. But God Almighty never will. The church is a place that we can gather imperfectly with the same united mindset that we're all headed to a perfect place. We can gather imperfectly, but be washed in the blood of Jesus that makes us perfect again. So today, if you feel like you have taken some steps back, this lesson's going to be for you. If you're here today, and as I prayed, you've not yet entered the fight, this lesson's for you. Today, if you are here and your faith is right where it needs to be, and you are continuing to grow, and you're allowing God to fight, then this lesson is going to be for you. My prayer is that when we leave here today, we're all fighting for the cause of Christ. And we're allowing God to fight those battles for us. You see, the phrase lost cause, sometimes we say it that way. Well, my life is just, it's a lost cause. Or this project I'm working on, it's a lost cause. That phrase speaks of a cause that has been defeated or one whose defeat is inevitable. Sometimes we have the mindset of, I just can't win. No matter what I do in life, I can't get ahead. I'm fighting a losing battle. It's a lost cause. Maybe we've gone beyond that and we've just quit the fight altogether. There's a lot of people that have. There's a lot of folks in the church today that have just quit fighting. And we've got to wake them up. We've got to do whatever we can to encourage them. To get these empty spots filled. Not because we want to check off and say, hey, look how many we have in attendance, but because that's that many more that have entered the fight or have gotten back in it. The reality of life is this. In this world, we will have tribulation. We will have trouble. We will have tough times. We need to remember in times of trouble, in times of toughness, in times of trial, what Exodus 14:14 reminds us of. Maybe it's something you can take the Bible app if you have your devices and you can highlight it. If you have your physical Bibles, you can underline it or highlight it. Or maybe you just want to memorize it right now. But everybody today should leave here with Exodus 14:14 on their hearts. The Lord will fight for you. And you have only to be silent. You see, it needs to be not me fighting for me. It needs to be God fighting for me. And He has promised us that He will fight for us. But we've got to allow Him. But we also need to remember this great verse that was read to us by Cecil just a moment ago. It's actually two verses, 1 Corinthians 15:57 and 58. It is found in the context of what we call the resurrection chapter of the Bible. Paul is talking in this long chapter, in this part of his letter, he's talking about the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, talking about we too will be changed. We too, in the twinkling of an eye, will be made immortal from mortal. And so, that being said, he goes on and he talks about death. He says, oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? And then he picks up and he says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." I want you to hear that again. He's reminding us there that under the law of Christ, under the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when we are buried in water and we contact the blood of Jesus, we have our sins washed away, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, we're added to the church, and we're connected to that power that Bill talked about this morning. We plug into that power, right? And because of that, when we come up, we walk in newness of life. But even beyond that, we're part of the victory. When I was a child, "Victory in Jesus" is still one of my favorites, was my favorite song. And that thought process still should be favorite to us, right? We have victory in Jesus Christ. And so as I think about that passage and think about that mindset, he says, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, since you have that victory today," here's what he said, "be steadfast." Be ready to fight. Be ready to pray. Be ready to give. Be ready to help. Be ready to serve. Be steadfast. Be ready to worship. Be ready to do it publicly. Be ready to do what it takes to honor the victory of Jesus Christ. He said, "Be steadfast." And then he said, "Be immovable." When I was a child watching wrestling, I can remember they would talk about the irresistible force meets the immovable object. Okay? That immovable object has to be you and me. There's a force out there. And that force and that principalities and the powers that we're fighting against is Satan and his army and his henchmen, if you will. And they're coming after us. But we, as Christians, knowing God is fighting for us and we have the victory, need to be immovable. The problem is, sometimes we become immovable or we become movable. And we allow life to move us. I want you to know, when we move away from God, He hasn't moved. We are the ones moving. God stays in the same place. Today, it is my prayer that as a church, we will all unite, no matter where we are spiritually, no matter if we're faithful, no matter if we're lost today, or no matter if we've fallen away and lost today. We need to all unite and enter the fight and be immovable. There's a lot of comfort to me in those two verses. We don't have to fight this battle alone. In fact, we already know that we are victorious. It doesn't get better than that. Knowing tonight, when you lay your head on your pillow, no matter how defeated you have felt, when you lay your head on your pillow tonight, if we are in a right relationship with Jesus Christ, we are victors. Victors. In this life, again, we're going to face great challenges. Sometimes those challenges will knock us on the ground, will knock us on our face. But sometimes that happens because we're going into the battle alone. I love David and Goliath for a lot of reasons. But David, they sent into that battle Saul, king of Israel, thinking he's about to get destroyed in about half a second. His armor, I'm too tall, it wouldn't fit him. Too big, it wouldn't fit him. David's trying to assure him, "Look, man, I've killed a lion and a bear with my bare hands." By the way, that is a very impressive task. We talk about Goliath a lot, but how impressive is that? He said, "I've done that with my bare hands." He goes out to fight Goliath, and Goliath is insulted. He says, "Am I a dog, really? Israel, is this the best you got? I'm 9 feet tall and nobody can beat me. You're sending this little pipsqueak to fight this big old giant?" When David's thinking the whole time, "What are you kidding me, Philistia? You're sending this little bitty giant to fight my big God." You see, the battle was won. the battle was already won. There's one more story I want us to focus on today. And that's the main part of our text in Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. Let me tell you what's going on in the life of Joshua. And Joshua is on my mind because this is the Lads the Leaders study this year. And it is a great book for children to study. It's a great book for adults to study, for whoever to study, right? But you remember, just to give you a little bit of a recap, they have gone into battle. They have crossed the Red Sea. Okay, I'm sorry. They did that a long time ago. They've crossed the Jordan now. And the Jordan is where the Promised Land, on the other side of that is where the Promised Land is. And because they're going into this Promised Land, they're going to have to do some conquering. But you remember in Joshua 1, when God told Joshua, everywhere your feet steps will be yours. Only be strong and very courageous. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Well, that mindset can't fade. But because we're human and because we see the enemy and we recognize the mighty that they have, sometimes it does fade. Today, if you've got a stack of bills this high and gas prices are as high as they are and the economy's doing what it's doing, inflation's doing what it's doing and all these things, and you look and you say, hey, I know God's going to fight for me, but when I see all that, I get a little bit weak in the knees. I go from immovable to I'm moving a little bit. You see, we need reminders, don't we? We need reminders to know that God's fighting for us. Joshua needed those as well. Look at Joshua 5, verse 1. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted. And there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. That's a great victory. They've had great things happen, right? God has allowed these great victories, and now these kings all over the area, they're hearing this and their hearts are melting because they think, oh no, we're in trouble, they're coming to conquer us. Now look at Joshua 5, beginning in verse 13. This is our main text for today. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. It's one of those neat stories in the Bible we don't talk about a lot. And Joshua went to him and said to him, that's a great question, by the way. He said, are you for us or for our adversaries? In other words, are you on my side or are you coming to fight us? So he said, no. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped. I guess he did. And said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Joshua's story is amazing. Think about now how he has, even in times of discouragement, he stood strong. You remember when they sent the 12 spies out to look at Canaan the first time? Joshua, Caleb as well, were a couple of those spies. And they go there, and man, they even brought proof back. You remember the cluster of grapes they brought back? They said, this place truly is flowing with milk and honey. It is fertile. It is exactly what God told us it would be. These are what the 10 say. They said, man, this place is remarkable and everything else, but we can't go there. Why can't we go there? They got giants. And these giants will crush us. We're nothing but grasshoppers to them. Joshua said, what? And Caleb, what are you talking about? These are Terry's words, by the way. What are you talking about? Yes, we can be. These people are nothing to our God. Well, because of the 10 winning out and influencing the crowd, Joshua and Caleb standing strong, you remember they perished, most of them, in the wilderness. Now here Moses is the leader. Joshua's still doing great things, but Moses dies. He doesn't even get to lead them across the Jordan River. And God says to Joshua, hey, I need you to be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous, Joshua, everywhere you go. So then he rallies the people. Yeah, Joshua will fight for you. But then what's next? Jericho. Can you imagine what a fortified city Jericho was? People, those walls were so big, people lived in those walls. It's where their homes were. And Jericho's thinking, we don't know who you guys are. We're going to destroy you. We've got a great army. And Joshua's standing over by Jericho now, and what happens? This commander of the Lord's army stands there. And Joshua's reaction to it reminds us of some great facts today. And there are three of them. And I want you to take them with you. And I want you to see them. I want you to take them with you, and I want you to make them applicable to your life, that when the Jerichos come in your life, when the giants come in your life, when the bills come in your life, when the bad news comes in your life, when the inflation comes in your life, when the health scare comes in your life, I want you to remember these three words. And I want you to remember Joshua 5. Here's number one. We need to recognize the one who stands before us. You see what Joshua did? He said, are you for me? He's got this sword. I mean, this is a great, I mean, what a massive picture this is, right? This great warrior stands there with his sword drawn and he says, are you for me? Are you against me? He said, no, I'm the commander of the army of the Lord. You know what Joshua did? He recognized the power in that. He recognized exactly something was different about this man. Most commentaries now will lead you to believe that this literally was Jesus Christ. If indeed it is, we also need to be reminded that Jesus is standing before us as well. Jesus Christ is our mediator. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. What does mediator mean? It literally means one who intervenes between two, either in order to make or restore peace and friendship, or form a compact, or for ratifying a covenant. God, Jesus Christ, literally is our mediator and He stands before us today. When we struggle, when we go from immovable to floating in the wind, movable, we have failed to recognize the mediator, the commander, standing in front of us. Jesus today, here's what He'll do. If you haven't entered the fight, if you've fallen away from the fight, or if you're still fighting, here's what He's going to do, and He is doing for those who are fighting. He is going to the Father, and He's saying, that guy isn't that bad a guy. That lady isn't that bad a lady. I will put my blood all over them again. He is making intervention for us. He's fighting for us. He told Joshua, I am not your adversary. I'm not you. I am the commander. of the army of the Lord. And Joshua fell on his face. He recognized it. But Jesus Christ, as we recognize Him today, is also our propitiation. I know that's a big word, and that's a word that some of us may not be familiar with. Romans 3, verse 21, beginning in 21. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Jesus Christ, our propitiation, literally means He is our sacrifice or our substitute. He took our place. The greatest fight that has ever occurred happened at Calvary. It happened at Golgotha when Jesus was put in a grave dead, but He came out alive. And because of that victory, therefore, brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Today, if we recognize the one standing before us, that He is our mediator, that He is our propitiation, that He is the commander of the Lord's army, and that He is our Savior, then we will understand that we have every reason to be immovable. Secondly, this morning, according to Joshua, second word I want you to hear today is the word realize. We need to recognize, then we need to realize. We need to realize the fight is far too great for us alone. Joshua must have had concerns. I mean, he's a human being. He's a great hero of the Bible, but he was a human being. You remember after Ai, God told him, get up! Quit pouting! Get off your face! Get back in the fight! Achan's the problem! Yeah, and so he had all those issues going on. But right here, you know, he's still, again, he's human. There had to be concerns. Maybe even had some doubt. What a big responsibility he had to lead God's people, to make them a great nation so that Jesus Christ can come into the world. But right here, he recognized that God was the only one who could lead them to victory, because he realized he couldn't do it alone. So you know what he did? He fell down on his face and he worshiped the commander. Right then and there. He didn't care who was around. You think in that moment, Joshua would have said, you know, I'm not that good a singer, so I'm not going to sing out. You think he would have said that? You think Joshua in that moment would have said, I don't lead prayers very well. I'm just not going to pray. You think Joshua in that moment would have said, oh yeah, I can make it to worship today. I feel just fine. But I'm going to live stream because, you know, I'm just going to have it on while I'm doing other things. No, folks. He didn't care who saw him. He's the commander of the Lord's army. And Joshua realized it, and he fell on his face and worshiped. If we don't have that mindset when it comes to worship, then we're not immovable. I'm telling you right now, there are people that are, their apartment literally got bombed today, but I guarantee you they worshiped. And some of us in this country, in this church even, if we got a hangnail that hurts, we won't be here. If we do not realize that the commander of the Lord's army is standing before us, then we will never be immovable. We'll always float in the wind. Joshua fell down on his face, worshiped the commander of the Lord. Do we all realize today that every single one of us are sinners? Romans 3 verse 10, there are none righteous, no not one. Romans 3, 23, all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. But do we realize today that all of our sins can be washed away? Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Do we realize that God is not willing that any should perish, but He hopes that all will come to repentance today? Don't carry the burden any longer. Realize that there is a way out. And that way is standing before us today. We need to recognize. We need to realize that there's one more thing we need to do. We need to remove. Joshua 5:15, the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And I love this part. We didn't have to assume. And Joshua did so. Joshua understands there are going to be crazy things asked of him. The strategy for this city being destroyed is to march around it in a specific order once a day and don't say a word for 6 days. Then on day 7, here's the other crazy order. I want you to do it 7 times. And then I want you to make all the noise you can. You know what's going to happen? Those walls are going to fall. Then you're going to conquer the city. That was a crazy strategy. But the commander gave it to him. And he did it. Joshua wouldn't have thought this was that crazy because he knew Moses and he knew that story. But here he's before the commander of the Lord, and the commander of the Lord says, of the Lord's army says, I want you to take your sandal off because where you're standing is holy. And he did so. He removed them. Just like Moses did. Remove what is of the world, so that we can stand before the Lord today. If you and I hold on to the world, we cannot be immovable. Hebrews 12, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares or traps us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the Son of God, of the throne of God. Here's what the Hebrew writer said. The victory is standing in front of you. But in order to run it, you've got to remove some things. You've got to get rid of the weight. that's weighing you down. And you've got to run with endurance. And you've got to focus. You've got to recognize. You've got to realize. And you've got to remove. Today it's time to get rid of the junk. You got sin in your life? Get rid of it today. You got something that's holding you back sin-wise? Maybe it's doubt. Maybe it's fear. We don't talk about that one a lot. There's a lot of people been afraid lately. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's lying. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's substances. Whatever, maybe it's forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Whatever it is, remove it today. Take your sandal off today. Maybe today it's your past that's holding you back. Oh, the things that I've done. Get rid of that doubt and that garbage today. Realize Jesus is standing before you. Recognize and remove that. Maybe it's troubles. Maybe it's heartache. Is it pain? Are there tears? Is there anger? Is there hate? Is it frustration? Whatever the burden is. It's time to recognize the commander standing before us. Realize exactly who he is. Remove whatever is holding us back from having a relationship with him so that we can be immovable. Maybe there's a Jericho in your future. Maybe there's a war in our future. Whatever the battle is, do not go into battle alone. Take God with you. And let's start right now together. We stand and sing.